want to welcome everyone this evening. When I go in, I call it going in, I go in to the Divine Consciousness and I ask, well, what are we going to talk about this evening? And I say we because I never know what's going to come out of my mouth, and I know that the Divine is speaking through me. And I acknowledge that, and I'm very grateful for it. And so the Divine said, oh, we're going to talk about love. And I went, oh, that's very cool. I'd love to talk about love. So that's what's going to happen this evening. And these are love poems. So, of course, every poem that I've been reading is all about love. But one of the aspects that I appreciate so deeply with all of these individuals, male and female, from all these different religions and points of view, so many different countries represented, but all of them, from the heart of their heart, they connected with what I call the heart of God. They were deeply connected to that energy. And so whatever the words were that they spoke, it was always about that place of love and how the words came both inspired and also how their lives looked, because all of them were in service. There wasn't one of these mystics that wasn't in service. And often, as we know, many mystics have chosen, and through time, to really be cloistered. And many of these, the women in particular, so that they could be safe, were cloistered. But they came in, they worked out in the world, and they did miraculous things, and many of them were healers. So in this day and age, as many people have talked about, there are many mystics that are moving about the world, and we never know. We just know that they're there, and we're so gratified that there are mystics who can, in their way, serve however that might be. So in that loving place, we're going to do Meister Erhard again, because he is so incredibly beautiful. And I love this one. He has a great sense of humor, I think. Yes, Mary. You see, I read these. Here we are. All day long, a little burro labors, sometimes with heavy loads on her back, and sometimes with worries about things that only bother burros. And worries, as we know, can be more exhausting than physical labor. Once in a while, a kind monk comes, and to her stable he will go and bring her a pear. And more than that, he looks into the burro's eyes and touches her ears. And for a few seconds, the burro is free and even seems to laugh. Because love does that. Love frees. What keeps us alive? What allows us to endure? I think it is the hope of loving or being loved. I heard a fable once about the sun going on a journey to find its source, and the moon wept without her lover's warm gaze. We weep when light does not reach our hearts. We wither like fields if someone close does not rain their kindness and love upon us. So beautiful. Last week I talked about laughter, that many of these mystics do laugh. And one of the reasons that they laugh is because they come to the place where they no longer take their life so seriously. And this is Saint Teresa, and this is one of her poems about that energy. And I saved a chair just for you, and you can just pull it right on up.
Sorry.
No problem. This is Saint Teresa. Just these two words changed my life. He said, enjoy me. What a burden I thought I was to carry, a crucifix as he did. Love once said to me, I know a song, would you like to hear it? And laughter came from every brick in the street and from every pore in the sky. After a night of prayer God changed my life when God sang, "Enjoy me." Mm. Now, the question remains, how much in our lives do we find joy and do we enjoy? This is huge, because I grew up in a family, as I've talked about, where there was laughter and there was a certain amount of joy, but that was after everything else took place. It wasn't a continuous part of how we saw life. And both my parents had a great sense of humor, and we all would laugh and share, but just the enjoyment of life, to enjoy life, it's a very, very special gift to be able to say in every moment, I can find in joy. I will be in joy and enjoy that moment. And there are times where our egos, of course, will say, we can't possibly find joy here. You know, it's too hard, it's too this, it's too that. But the truth is that if we have a lightness of being, if our hearts are not weighed down with worry and all the other aspects of energy that it can pull into us, then we can enter into whatever life brings instead of saying, it's a tragedy and it's hard and it's horrible and I don't know if I can handle it, to be able to open our hearts instead and with our love and compassion hold what that is. And this is a huge transition of consciousness. Instead of going, oh God, oh, it's just so horrible, oh, I can't stand it, to being able to say, wait, if I am truly one with all that is, then I want to open my heart and have the compassion and love to hold even this, even this. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be tears. I have tears of sadness. I have tears of joy. Do you also have that? I hope so. I hope that you laugh until you cry. Do you? Have you? Have you done it in the last few days? You know, I mean, I really hope that that is part of your life. That you really, I mean, I laugh out loud. I laugh out loud every day. And if I don't laugh out loud every day, then I am not living. I am truly not living. Because laughter, I mean, the brook is laughing. And the sky is laughing. And the birds, I mean, the birds are laughing. And everything is alive. And everything is saying, smile. I am smiling. I mean, when the wind goes through the trees, the wind doesn't say, oh, God, do I have to do this again? No! The wind says, shall I move the leaves of this tree? Yes. Will I feel the joy of that? Yes. And if you are privileged enough to be there in the moment when the wind goes through the trees, then why wouldn't you laugh? Why wouldn't you say, oh my goodness, see this? And if we are aware, and we've been talking about having that self-awareness, that realization of who we are in every moment, so the serendipitous things that happen as we go through our lives, where the juxtaposition of how things unfold, we could never choreograph. Haven't you had that experience in your life? You could never choreograph it. There'd be no way. Because when someone tells you why they were there at that moment when you came there and blah, blah, blah happened, you go, whoa! Now, this is all about the joyfulness of life. And I look forward to the unexpected. But for many people, the unexpected is very frightening because they want to have control. Now, who wants control? The ego. The ego wants that control. It wants to say, I need to be in control here. I need to have it look a certain way. Love is not like that, darlings. Mm-mm, no, no, no. Love could care less. Love does not have any interest in judgment, criticism, control, manipulation, protection, or defense. No, it's not interested in anger. No. Love does not have that within itself. Those are all ego energies. So while I was bringing forth the energy, quote unquote, I said, okay, so how's this going to look? And then I have this downpouring of energy, and I start writing. And I have before me a list of 22 kinds of love. 22 kinds. And there are more, but this is just the start, okay? So you might say, gosh, she missed one. Well, that's okay. You can put that in your list as 23. It'll be fine. Okay, so here we go. Self-love, puppy love, baby love, narcissistic love, brotherly love, love of country, love of kin, mother love, smother love, romantic love, filial love, eternal love, divine love, sexual love, familial love, agape love, spiritual love, tough love, love of Gaia, that's Greek for Mother Earth, communal love, love of nature, love of all creatures, love of all that is. Pretty cool, huh? Now, I say so myself. When you look at how many kinds of love there are in the world, you say, well, I could be all those kinds of love. Why can't we? Does the day go by when you don't actually feel palpably at least one moment of love? Have a loving thought? I mean, the first one I began with was self-love. I never learned self-love. No one ever taught me that. No one ever showed me that. But the first time I ever heard that, I was already a young adult. And I said to myself, I wonder what that is. I actually didn't know. And I had to try and figure out what that was. Because I'd been told, you know, anything you do for yourself, it's always about the other. You do for the other, that's your service in life. And I did that all the way through my childhood. And when I became a young adult, I said, there's more. There's got to be more. So in the act of coming into self-love and understanding what that was, the parameters of my love grew tremendously, tremendously. Because I realized that the soul, and I'm a mystic, remember, so how I view things is perhaps a little bit, you know, off-center. As the energy came through me in that moment when I was 6 years old, what I realized was that I was never alone. I've never been alone in this embodiment. I have always felt the presence of my soul, of the divine, with me all the time. Never a moment have I ever been alone. And when I would have an experience, it's almost as though I would have the experience and then I would have the voice within speaking to me about what was really happening in that experience. And then I would say, oh, so it's about my embracing that experience, not as unique to myself, but one that is part of love, the love of everything. And I just happened to be lucky enough to have had this moment of love. And I could take it very personally and say, wow, you know, I just had this moment of love. But the truth is that if I have that moment of love, whatever it is, it allows me then to expand my love beyond the personal. You understand? Most of us want to take our love very personally. This is my personal love, my personal experience about love. This is how I see love. This is how love feels for me. You know, and we can be very engrossed in that. And the ego says, boy, I really love doing this. You know, it's really good. Good stuff. And I can get attached to having everything be a personal love. The first time I heard about impersonal love, I said, gosh, I bet that's really boring. I mean, you know, impersonal love. But the truth is that impersonal love allows us to love more than just what we would love personally. You understand? Impersonal love allows for the expansion of our love. Now, if we're also expanding our compassion at the same time, then it means that our love and compassion grow and weave one into the other, into a level of awareness that allows us to be present no matter what it looks like out there or inside ourselves. One of the great teachings the divine gave me was just that, that we are to love no matter what it looks like out there or inside ourselves. We are to love. Now, most of us, if we're not having a good day, love is pretty iffy. But if we're having a pretty good day, well, it's all right. I'm going to love you because I'm having a pretty good day today. You know? I mean, it's pretty narrow. But if you open to the possibility that you will be loving, you will be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like out there or inside yourself. So even if you're having a wretched day, as my mother would say, she loved the word wretched, you're having a wretched, she'd say in an English accent, you're having a wretched day today. So I would be having a wretched day, and she would say, that should not change how you're going to be in the world today. Just because it's wretched in here doesn't mean it's wretched out there. And this was something that I had to really practice, because I wanted to project my wretchedness out there, so everybody would know how wretched I felt in here. Does anybody know that besides me? Nod your heads up and down if you've ever had that experience. You don't feel good in here? I'm just going to send it out. And then everyone will say, oh, Mary feels wretched today. Actually, no. So I had to learn about my interior landscape in relationship to love, did I not? I had to see that if I were self-loving and loved that which I am, and when I say I am, I mean the God presence, the soul which I am, and all that I am, all my shortcomings, all my foibles, all the things that my mother said, did you ever get that one? Okay, I got that one. Then I'd go, well, just check that. That's another one that I have going on inside me. Check. And of course, I'd want to project it out there just to make sure. So, understand what we're doing here. I hope everyone's getting a little laughter out of this, folks. This is not a serious subject. Love is a very unserious subject. But we need to know our interior landscape and how we continually project outside ourselves what's going on in here. And if we choose to live soulfully, it means that we are willing to not only look and feel and be who we are with inside ourselves, but also when we're in the world, will we allow that love to flow? And we don't have to say a word. Not one word. That love will just be emanating from us. Okay? There's not one task you have to do, not one anything. Now, if all of us in this room, from this moment forward, we'd say, I will hold this love 24 hours a day within myself. Do you know what would happen in the collective consciousness if we did that? It would start to shift just like that. Now, we can do it one by one by one by one. It just takes a little longer for the shift to occur. But if, as a group consciousness, we went from this place and we said, for a week, we'll just practice. Just, and if you don't want to practice, don't practice. I'll practice for you. I can do 3 or 4 people at a time. So, you have the love inside, and you're just letting it flow out of you, however it chooses to do that. Okay? And then, at the end of the day, I scan my day at the end of my day, and from the time I awaken until the time I put my head upon the pillow to sleep, I scan my day and I say, what was the energy of my love throughout this day? Was I giving thanks? Was I aware of the other in a loving way? Did I have loving thoughts as bidden and unbidden souls came unto me? Did I bring love to them? Or was I too busy with something else and just let the moment pass? How was it when I was in nature? And was I lovingly present? Or was I so busy thinking about something else that I missed all those beautiful moments of love that the divine was giving me just as I walked down the road? It's that level of awareness that is so sweet. Tonight I went to have my car filled up with gas, and the young man couldn't get it to work, and he'd run back into the little office and he'd come back and it wouldn't work, you know. And there's a part of me that went, now I get to be lovingly present. Well, this young man figures out how we're going to get gas in my car. And this goes on, this dance, you know. And I'm standing there and I don't have my coat on, because I'd left it in the car thinking I'm only going to be here for 5 minutes. And so I got to practice patience, and I got to practice holding the energy as he tried to figure out why we couldn't get gas so that we could pump it into the car, and on and on. And he was so darling, and at first he was walking like this. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be here a long time. And he walked back. Then he'd take the thing off, and we'd put it in, and I'd go, okay, okay. I mean, this is really good practice for Mary to be loving. And with each time he had to do it, he got a little bit quicker. And then he got determined. And then he really started walking down there, really doing his thing, really walking back, and really getting the thing, and really putting it in. Okay, okay, you know? The guy's got some energy now, we're moving it, we're going to get some gas in the car, you know? I was sitting there going, please get the gas in the car, I'm so ready to get in the car. But I didn't dare move, because I said, my practice is to stand here and be lovingly present while he does that. Even though the left side of my brain, where the ego is there, was saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to be finished? I said, shh, shh, shh. Lovingly present. Now, the divine will bring us all these moments. Yes, this is all part of life. But if we know and have the self-awareness that when the moment comes, we are at choice in that very moment. We're at choice. Will there be love or will there be impatience? Maybe frustration, and it could even become anger. But we have that choice in the moment. And for most of us, the idea of being so present in the moment that we could change even our old patterns. I mean, I grew up with a family that was quite reactive. So if it wasn't done, hi, there was energy, lots of energy, right? And so I have learned that patience is a beautiful thing, but I've had to practice it. If it doesn't come naturally to me, I'm a quadruple Scorpio. I want it now, 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 and make it interesting now, 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 right? Do not be boring me in the moment. But you see, since I know that about myself, I get to laugh and I say, Mary, this could be interesting. And as soon as he began to, you know, really move along, and his footsteps got quicker, I went, okay, you know, I can watch this ballet, you know, I'm a choreographer, so I would say, oh, well, let's watch the choreography of what this looks like, so that I won't get bored, and I won't, you know, go into those old patterns. Every moment can be filled with love if we have the consciousness to be aware of the moment, and we're living moment to moment to moment, are we not? And often, a moment will pass us by. I can only speak for myself in this. And at the end of the day, I'll scan my day and I'll say, oh, there was a moment there. And I was not paying attention. And I want to be attentive to every moment. And so I go back to that moment and I say, now I'm going to fill that moment with love. Even though it appears to be in the past, there is no time or space when you're working in love. And I would go back and I would fill that with love. And I would ask my soul, could you bring me another moment so that I can practice in the moment with whatever it looks like? So bring me another moment and let me see if my attention and my awareness is fully present so that I can be right there with love, regardless of what's coming toward me. If you have an expectation that love will be met with love, not really. Because most people, sorry about that, most people are like I used to be. I was so concerned about everything else that love was not the first thing on my agenda, correct? Everybody has an agenda. And that agenda can take you way far away from love. But if the top priority is love, then you say, I want to be lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there or inside myself. And it's the inside myself that I have to be very aware of, because we have all these wonderful things going on inside of us. And a lot of times we think, well, that's where I want to put my attention, is in here. When in truth, we're being asked to put our attention elsewhere, outside of ourselves, in many different ways. The first time that I ever really experienced, how shall I say, a magnitude of love, such a huge outpouring of love that I just, I just couldn't believe that I was experiencing it, was one of the first times I ever saw a waterfall. And I was about 10 years old, probably 10 years old, and we'd gone for a hike, this other family, who was very kind to take me with them when they went to In Nature, and we went to this waterfall, and I had never actually seen a picture of it or knew what it was, and it's quite tall, and it's in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia. And this water coming down like that, and the sound of it, and the energy. And of course, as the divine would have it, the sun was just coming through it so that there was a rainbow. And I went, oh, and I was just, I just wanted to fall on the ground and just, absorb it, run into it, anything. And of course, we all stood at attention, as one will do when they tell us that's what you're supposed to do as a kid. So we all stood at attention and we all just looked at this astounding thing, listened to it, felt it, and you could actually begin to feel, the water coming off of it and coming unto us. It was quite remarkable. And since then, I've had wonderful experiences. I'm totally a water baby, and this was like the first time that I saw the magnitude and the power of water. And I went home and I was just awestruck, and I just wanted to tell my whole family about it. And my siblings went, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my parents said, we have a lot to do. We don't have any time to hear any more about your story. We're so glad you had a lovely time. Get to work. So I thought to myself, okay, how can I bring this momentous energy, this consciousness that was so far beyond anything I had ever experienced, how can I bring it into myself and realize how not only magnificent it was, but who am I in relationship to that waterfall? And what I got was, that is an expression of love. That waterfall is love. It is so strong in what it is and how it is and what it is that it is, that the love is just falling off of it, just flowing out to you. And all you have to do is just remember that waterfall, and that love will come unto you. Everything that is beauty, everything that is beauty is love. There's not one thing that is not love. And if there is beauty, and where is the beauty? In the eye of the beholder. So whatever is beauty to you, therein lies the love. So whatever you see, and I have seen things that I thought were beautiful, and people looked at me and said, that's just a bunch of trash. And I'd say, no, it's not. Look at that. Look at the shape and the form. And look how all that stuff, those cans and those bottles and that, maybe it's garbage to you, but boy, it's really beautiful to me. And they go, yeah, that's Mary. But it's true. We can find beauty anywhere and everywhere if we only open to it. And then what happens? Because beauty is the expression of love upon the earth plane for anybody to experience. But if you do not have the consciousness to realize what you're looking at, and that it's a reflection of whose love? Your love. If you have the beauty in your eye, then what can you see that is not beautiful and is not love? If you have the beauty, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So what is there? And you could say, there's war, deprivation, starvation, illness. I mean, you could name it all. You could name it all. And that's really true. But from the eye of love, you can see it. You can see what really is going on. And you will have not only love, but compassion for everything that the moment before you said, this I cannot love, this I cannot have compassion for. We are being asked to do that. Hush, y'all wouldn't be sitting here in the room. You'd be doing something else tonight. We're being asked to do that. And you don't have to do it. You go home and say, I'm not doing that. No, 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 no. I don't want to extend my love over to that thing over there or to those people over there. No, I'm not going to do that. That's fine. What will that tell you? That will tell you that this embodiment is not about that. That's what it'll tell you. You're about something else. But if you know and have felt love, I mean really deep love, and not having to do with another person, dears, I'm not talking about personal love here. I'm talking about the impersonal love of all that is, where you love because you are love. You love because you cannot hold the love in here. It's always moving through you. It's always expressing in whatever way it expresses. And wherever you go on the earth plane, and whatever you experience or whatever you see on the news, I hope y'all don't watch the news, but if you watch the news, why in the world would you watch the news? Except to sit, if it's the newspaper or the TV or however you see the news, you do it so that you can love it. It's the only reason you watch the news, so you can love it. Who else is going to love it? All of it. All of it. When I was teaching at the Summerlin House, I said to folks, how many of you read the newspaper or look at your computer? And a lot of hands went up. I said, well, what if I asked you not to read the newspaper for a whole month? They said, no! We have to know what's going on in the world. We have to be part of that. How can we not know the news? I said, okay. So, if you've got to have your newspaper or your computer or whatever, then why not, instead of just reading it to feed what? The ego-conscious mind. That's why we want to know what's in the news, to feed the ego-conscious mind. But if we want to do more, then what is left is love. So if I have a newspaper in front of me, and often people will say, oh, Mary, you got to read this. And I'll read it, and I'll go, my job here is to love this. Love the people, love the places, love the things, love the whatever. Just to love it. Just to love it. And then when people say, oh, Mary, this terrible thing is happening, they'll call me on the phone and say, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I say, yes, thank you very much. You're the messenger. And now I will love that. When the tsunami happened, love that. When the Twin Towers went down, love that. When the fires have happened in Santa Barbara, love that. It takes an extraordinary amount of love, because often the ego-conscious mind says, I cannot love this. Everything is in divine order, darlings. Everything is in divine order. And if it is in divine order, then it is for us to be present with it in the most loving way that we know how. Yes? Because there's purpose to that beyond what we can imagine. And it is not for me to say, why? That is a useless question to ask. Why, what, where, when, how, who? Who cares? It's not about that, dears. It's about love. And I'm talking big love here, all right? Big love. And most of us have said, well, if you just love me, I'll love you back. But if you don't love me the way I want you to love me, I'm not going to love you. Well, that feels pretty good. But wait a minute, you ought to change. You ought to change, because I don't love what's going on over here. Is that familiar to anybody? No wonder my first marriage didn't work. My poor practice marriage. I mean, it was the, you've got to change, Mary, and you've got to change, honey, and you've got to change. Do you understand? We were so busy trying to change each other. I'm going to give you an example. No. I love to give this example. All right? Here was my practice marriage before I got married, okay? And then he said, now, if you just change this, I'd really like that. I'm sure I would. And he said, you know, I'm really not very happy with this. I think I'm going to change that. And, gee, if you just change that, Mary, I'd really love you more. And then I'd say, okay, I'll change that. And then he said, well, what about that? I said, okay, I can do that. And then he said, well, you know, in the long run, maybe you ought to change that too, because I'm not really, really happy with that either. And I'd go, okay, then I'll change that, okay? Okay, and what about that? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, there's just this little bit over here that needs to really be changed. Okay, I'll do that. All right. I didn't know any better. And here, okay. That's what ended up. And I said, oops. Because I thought if I changed enough, there'd be L-O-V-E. If I changed enough, there'd be L-O-V-E. Now, this may not be familiar to anybody except me. But I think maybe this is humanity I'm talking about. Everybody in humanity. And so I took some years to do some therapy, find out what was going on, and boy, howdy, part of me came back, like, whoa, I like that part. I thought that was a really cool part myself, and now I really think it's cool. And little by little, I did. I said, yes, love can accept and be one with all that is. I do believe that. I feel so true in myself when I am that. And then I just smoothed it out, but every single one of those wrinkles was a lesson well learned. And I said, now I have learned the truth. So here I am with all my lessons, with all the teachings I have received. And now, when I go forth into the world, my humanity and my divinity will be in love. In love, meaning in the love and in the love. In the love. This right here. Now, I had to go through all of that, didn't I? That was part of my soul agreement. I didn't know about soul agreements. I would have said, honey, I don't believe I have a soul agreement here. But I didn't know any better. And I had to go through this, didn't I? Now, many of us have been through experiences where this has happened. Many experiences. And while they were happening, we thought, well, if I just change a little bit more, it'll be okay. The love will be there. But the truth is that we have to love all of our foibles, all of our shortcomings, all of those things that we say, these are less than love. But in truth, they're just teachers, and they're all very loving, to get us to the place where we have wisdom. This is very wise. I gained a lot of wisdom through this experience. And that wisdom is also love, because it now allows me to love without having to say I have to lose any part of myself in order to love. And before, I thought I had to, because if the other didn't like it, I said, better wipe that right on out of there. No. Now I say, well, I can be ornery. And Michelle says, well, that's all right. And then he'll do something. Since he's not here, I don't want to speak. But he'll do a little something. And I'll go, there's that little something again. He'll say, yeah, there it is. We get to love on each other. That's what we call it in the South. We love on each other. So when things come up, we don't go, nee, 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 or we just go, there it is. It's no big deal. Because the love that we have will embrace, encompass, and hold that energy completely. But our self-love must be first. And I never knew that until after my practice marriage. And then I realized if I didn't get some self-love cooking, I was going to be a very unhappy camper the rest of my life. And to be able to bring forward, and the divine will always do this, people who are very self-loving, so that I could have a mirror to look into. Because I didn't have any mirrors in my family that I could look into and see self-love. I had to have people in my world who had that so I could look in the mirror and say, oh, so that's what it looks like. When I was dancing in New York, we were all so in love with what we were doing that it didn't make any difference to us who the person was, where they came from, what their background was, whatever it was. Because if they were dancing and we were dancing, we just loved everybody because we had that thread of consciousness that brought us all together. And we loved what we did. And as a result of what we loved what we did, the love that we were and the love that we created in our dances, of course, went out to the audience. And the audience loved it. It might be the strangest thing they'd ever seen, but it didn't bother them. They said, we're here to see the dance. And they did, however it was. We didn't have to do the pas de deux where the guys and the girls were in these lovely forms. We could just be that loving expression of movement, moving, and then creating extraordinary forms as we moved. And often, with my dance company, the last piece we would do would be an improv. And we would not even set the opening position that we would all be in. We'd just come out and we'd form it, and we'd always have a really, you know, great piece of music to go with it. And, you know, the improv would last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on how long the piece of music was. And we were just having a ball. And afterwards, people would come up and they'd say, that is the most intricate, piece of choreography we've ever seen. We've never seen such detail, such care, such precision. And we just all smile and say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And it's because the love was so clear between us that we could do anything, any movement, any gesture, and we knew where everybody was. Even if they were all behind us, we sensed exactly where they were, what they were doing, and how the energy was moving. And we could be part of that just because we knew how to do that. And it was that love. Now, to make a bigger picture of love, I believe that what the glue, I will call it, that holds the universe together, not only this universe, but all the universes, all the galaxies, unto the infinite. The glue is love. Love holds everything together. Now, we're sitting here and we look pretty solid. Now, why do you think that our cells just don't decide to fly off? I mean, why not? Why wouldn't your face just go, you go, hey, there's my face over there, come back. I mean, have you ever thought about it? You ever had that crazy thought? I said, why don't these particles just fly away? I mean, we have all these billions of cells, and they're all just going, humming along, and this is so far out. Every single cell has its own consciousness, and every single organ in your body has its own consciousness, and they all know who they are, and they all cooperate so that we can go and laugh and smile and sing and be in love. Now, that's pretty far out. I mean, if once I think about it, sometimes I just go, it's a miracle that we just don't fly away. Now, once we get the idea or the concept that everything is love, so even though we're breathing in the air in this room and we're aware that air is there because, you know, we can do like this and we can feel it moving, it's love. We're sitting on this chair, not terribly uncomfortable, not terribly comfortable, but here it is. And it holds us perfectly, does it not? And it doesn't say, you know, I'm getting tired of holding you, I wish you'd stand up and walk away. It does not say that. It says, I am here as love. You can sit here as long as you want to. I'm the chair. The floor says, I'm the floor. The ceiling, the walls, the light. Everything is love. But if you look at it mechanically, then you say, nah, that's just the wall, and that's just the ceiling, and this is just the floor. Well, I'm a mystic. I believe that everything is here with great purpose, and that purpose is to allow love to flow, however it is to flow. And I don't care where it flows or how it flows, I just know that it does. There isn't anything, not a breath we take, not a breath we take that isn't love. It's got to be love. How else can we breathe? You just can't breathe to breathe. You breathe because that's the love. And every organ that is associated with our breath knows exactly what to do so that we can breathe. What is the rule? 3 minutes maximum breath, unless you really know how to hold your breath, right? Is it 3 days without water? And you start to dehydrate? And then it's 3 weeks and you die? Something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty short period of time, darlings. So, all I know is that I want to be in the place where love is, the abundance of love. We grow through love. We ingest love. I mean, when I'm eating, I don't care what I'm eating. It can be a plant. It doesn't make a difference what it is. As I ingest it, what am I ingesting? I am ingesting the divine love that created that carrot, that I might take that carrot that is pure love, that carrot is pure love, and take that pure love and put it in my mouth and chew it. And that pure love will be ingested by my body and used for what? More love. There's nothing, nothing that doesn't have love within it. Now, there's some things if you go to excess, like alcohol, it can turn to poison. That is true. But that's a choice. That's a choice. Everything that we do is a choice. Is it a choice for love or a choice of less than love? Because even that which is less than love can also become love. There's nothing that is beyond the parameters of love. It is just how we perceive it and how we define it. So when someone says to me, well, I don't believe blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, that's good. You obviously need that belief. That's a really important belief. You need that. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe it, right? But you believe it, so you need it. Now, I have to go all the way back to our soul agreements. All of our soul agreements that we make are about what we will believe, what we won't believe, and how much love we'll give. Our potential is limitless. But most of us, and I can certainly speak for myself, in the early days, I said, just this is it. This is the love right here. Right here. And then someone said, well, you know, it could even be bigger than that. And it was the divine talking, of course. And said, it could even be bigger. And I said, but then it means that I have to let go of a lot of my beliefs to make it bigger. Because all my beliefs had made it this size, right? So I let go of beliefs and it grew. And then the divine said, well, want it to be bigger? I said, oh, but I've got to let go of these beliefs. I'm getting really close to these really gnarly beliefs that I really believe in because I really believe they're beliefs. And so, yikes, do I have to let go of that belief? Yes. Well, what about this belief? Can I keep that belief? No. And it took time to let go of these beliefs. Our family entity, and everybody please understand, the family you came from is an entity of energy that has been going on for generations and has come to this place, and you were born into it again and again and again. And in that family entity, we've all taken different roles, sometimes the mom, sometimes the dad, sometimes the daughter, sometimes the nephew. It doesn't make any difference. This is the entity that we chose to come back into. You choose that family so that you can have these experiences of love and less than love. And once you step outside that entity, and we all have to grow. Yes? Does everybody believe this? Okay. You don't have to believe it. But once you step outside that entity, it does not mean you're necessarily leaving the entity, but you have to find out who you are outside of the entity. That's why teenagers rebel. That's why people go off to fight wars. Why people go off and dance. Why people go off and sing and write and get further education and do whatever they do. It is so that who they are and the reality that they know will be expanding for them. Now, there are many who just want to hold the family entity. They want to hold that entity, and that's the most important thing. And they become the keepers of that family entity. They become that which is going to hold it for the next generation. And I honor that. My older brother and my older sister have, since my mother and father have died, they have become the matriarch and the patriarch. They're the new holders of the energy. And their children are now orbiting around that entity, all right? And then they will choose either to be in the entity or to go out to another level of energy that will be outside the orb of the entity. My sister's son became a professional cyclist. And when he was making that decision, he came to me and he said, Aunt Mary, could you talk to my mom and dad about my desire to be a professional cyclist? And I said, sweetie, I can't do that. I said, but what you can do is practice with me what you're going to say. And I will give you the correct words so that you can speak to the matriarch and the patriarch of the family entity, and they will be able to hear you. And so we began to have a dialogue. And of course, he wanted to talk about, you know, it's the bike and it says this and blah, blah, blah. I said, no, darling. We have to talk about the future and the integrity of, and, you know, what is your income going to be, and, you know, and is this going to be a false start, or is this something, you know, the whole nine yards, because my family's all about business, and I'm the only artist in the group. So, you know, he had to kind of line up to do that thing, and he did, and his father was a banker, and his father said, no, son of mine is going to do that, and my sister, bless her heart, she said, but of course, I think that would be a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. So, the dad had to just change his mind. And, and my sister said, go for it. And he did, and he became very successful. But you see, the family entity didn't have any place for a professional cyclist. And I tell you, they didn't have any place for a professional dancer. No, 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 no. And Curtis turned to me. This is the young man I'm speaking of. And I said, Curtis, you know, this is really taking a lot of courage on your part. And he turned to me and he said, Aunt Mary, you've got to be kidding. I have watched you for years, and you have broken every rule of the family. And I went, well, Lord Almighty, I surely have. I mean, I wasn't observant of my own breaking of the rules because my passion to dance was so profound. I didn't care what they said. I was on my way. So understand that when you grow out of this level of love, which is very important, the nurturing within the family entity is an important level of energy. But when you've either outgrown it or it no longer works for you, then you step to the place where you find out who you really are. And many of us had tough love, we had anger, we had a lot of energies in the family that were not serving who we were. And my mother would say to me, and maybe some of you have heard this from your parents, you're too sensitive. You wear your heart on your sleeve, or whatever part you wear your heart on, right? And I would go, I'm too sensitive. I mean, I try to figure that out. Because I'd look around and I'd say, well, I seem to be pretty normal to me. But what was normal for me is not necessarily normal within the family entity. The family entity said, no, we don't do it that way. No, 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 no. So I had to leave the family entity to become the artist that I became and to go down the path of my spiritual consciousness. So please understand, I honor the family entity for that which it brings us. And as we come in and choose whatever part we're going to be, the son, the daughter, the mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle, whatever it looks like, we, in that place of choice, we then grow into that position, whatever it is, and some will stay and maintain, and others will step away. Now, I had to step away for quite a long time. But then, when the time came when my parents were in their last phases of their time on the earth plane, I became the child who would then go and be with them. Because my other siblings, they would say, well, I'll just do this much, but then I'm too busy in my life to be able to do more. And I said, then I will come and I will do all the other parts, because this is my return into the family entity where I can be of service. And so we have these moments where we leave and then we return, and we leave and we return. Now, when you look at the family entity as a whole, and then particularly when the mother and the father pass, then the children, often this is the first time that they are completely free. Because the attachment to the mother and the father are so powerful that it is very hard for them to truly be who they are until the passing, particularly if one parent is very powerful in the family entity. So we who sit here today, we have come to a place where we know the truth of ourselves, and we want to continue to do what? Expand and expand and expand. And I have shared with some of you that when I was going through tremendous change and moving more and more deeply into this divine consciousness, I went to my mother and I said to her, Mother, I have to tell you what's happening to me and what's going on. And I told her everything that was happening to me and what was going on. And when I finished, she looked at me and she said, I don't believe a word you just said. And I said, Mother, that doesn't make any difference at all. Whether you believe or don't believe is not important to me. What is important is that I was able to speak my truth to you. I said, because as the years go by, you will not know who I am. I will change more and more and more. But because I've spoken my truth to you, you will be able to say, she is still my daughter, but she has become this. Do you understand? It's very important that we speak our truth about who we are and do it in the most loving way possible to whoever it is that we speak to. And it may not be individuals within your family. You may say, I cannot speak my truth to the individuals in my family. That's fine. I do not have conversations with the individuals in my family about who I really am. No, darlings. That's a choice that I have made. So I fly in and we have a lovely time together and we talk politics, business, the weather, sports. Have I missed anything? I think those are the biggies. And I'm very well versed in these things, you know. I know what's going on, and so I can talk about it. And when they say, oh boy, we're all going to watch the Super Bowl, and I go, oh boy, I'm so happy for you. Go for it. I love it. It's really good. And I have great appreciation for the Super Bowl, and it's great theater, you know. But it's not my thing. And they have accepted that. So I go for a walk, and then I come back, and the Super Bowl's over, and all's well. So understand, we learn how to move our love so that we don't ostracize ourselves or another, but we simply embrace who they are. And we allow ourselves, you know, we have the facility to be chameleons, do we not? We can be present with anybody on this planet if we choose to, because our love allows us to be with them right where they are. Not where I am, but where they are. And if my love is true, then I will be with them wherever they are. Wherever they are. Now, that takes a certain level of consciousness to be able to honor who they are and where they are, and that you are simply there to do what? Be lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there or inside yourself. Just to be lovingly present. Now that's huge. And everybody wants to be heard, do they not? Everybody wants to be heard. And when you are the listener, that is so beautiful. I read a book once that was about a room, and it was a fictional story. And the people who found the room would go into the room and there was nothing in the room. But they were aware when they entered the room that they would be heard. That the listening in the room was profound. And there was a place to sit and they would sit, and whether they thought it or spoke it, they were heard. And the room was listening. It was the listening room. Now, if we could develop that level of consciousness, that we would create a space in which an individual could come and they could speak or be silent, but we would be listening to their speech or their silence, and we would be able to hold that for as long as they needed it to be held. Now, this is huge. So our practice is the listening. Now, while I'm speaking, you're listening. But while I'm speaking, I'm actually not speaking. What am I doing? Listening. I'm listening. I'm not speaking. I'm listening. Do you understand? I am listening. I'm not speaking. It appears that I'm speaking. And I'm speaking why? Because I want to occupy that little left side of your brain. So it's the right side of the brain. He's getting this inpouring of energy, okay? And the listening that I'm listening to is the divine coming through each of you. I'm listening to that. I'm listening to that. So when you're in the room, a lot of you are also listening to it. It just appears that I'm talking like this, but that's not what's really going on here. Something else is going on here. So once you open to say, it appears that I'm going to be listening. And you really are listening. But you know what's listening? This isn't listening. This is hearing. This is hearing. Who's listening? What's listening? Thank you. Everybody do this. Yeah. This is where we're listening. We're always listening here. Always. Now, what I hear may be very interesting, but what I really am listening to is this. And I'm listening to every single heart in the room. That's what I'm listening to. Okay? So when I am within the presence, and I don't care if I'm in Vaughn's and all I have is three items, and the guy or the man who's at the, what do you call the thing? Cash register. Thank you. The cash register. They're going to do whatever they do. I stand there and I listen. That's all I do. I listen. And I hope I have a smile on my face while I'm listening. And if they're grumpy, good, all right. I like grump. If they're happy, I'm happy. If they're frustrated, sometimes I can tell they're getting ready to leave. I'm the last one. And then they get to get out of there. And I'm listening to that joy bubble up that they're going to be gone. I'm listening to the energy. I don't go anywhere. I don't go into a building. I mean, I listen when I come in this room. I listen. What is the vibration that was here in this room before we were here? I listen to the energy that many of you have brought into this room before we got here. I listen to what is the energy of every moment. And when I sleep, as I go to sleep, and I put my head on the pillow, and my covers are up to here, and my hands are on my heart. That's how I start when I go to sleep. My hands on my heart. And I just listen. And the next thing I know, I'm awake. If we are in tune with the love which we are, nothing will keep us. Nothing will keep us away from love. We will be immersed in it. And you'll say, I don't know about this. Well, don't worry. Just be lovingly present. Just be lovingly present. And you'll say, is it hard work? No. If it's hard work, you're doing it wrong. You should be completely relaxed because it is coming through you. You don't have to do a thing. And it's there all the time. The thing is that most of the time, we don't bring our awareness to it, so we don't realize it's there all the time. 24 hours a day unceasingly. That love is enfolding us, nurturing us. It's in every cell of our body, every breath we take, every time we swallow, every time we blink. I mean, there's nothing that is not fully present in love. And I honor so much being in physical embodiment. Do y'all honor that? Have you in this day said, thank you for being in this embodiment? I'm so grateful that I'm in this embodiment. Be grateful, please. And if you don't want to be grateful, it's okay. You can be grateful next embodiment. Because you will come again, she said. But if you want to be grateful now, the chances are you can say, you know, I think maybe I'd love to come in with more gratitude next time. Practice, 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 practice. That's the deal. Now, I see our time is almost up. So what I'd like to do is invite all of us this week, and whether you come back or not next week, it's okay, because you'll be here anyway. See, that's the deal. Even if you're not here in the physical, you will have come anyway, because I'll call you forth. I'll call your souls to come here and be with me. But if you're here in the physical, it's even more fun, because then we get to laugh together and love on each other, which is great. But during this week, if you could bring into your consciousness, into that self-awareness of being present in love, and add the listening if you choose. If that's one thing too many, that'll come later. Just be present as love, in love, and through love. Just experience whatever that is and however it comes to you. And take note of it and say, ah, I feel the love in this moment. And I hope that it will be almost with every breath, because you will have brought your consciousness to how much love there is in this physical body that is loving you into existence moment to moment to moment. And if that love were not there, you would cease to exist in that moment. But the love is so profound that we can live moment to moment to moment. That's how exquisite it is. And there is no waste. There's nothing left over. It is absolutely perfection. How sweet every moment is as this love. Is that right? It's all right. Okay. Let's get ready to make the calls. I'd like to make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who've gathered to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this, and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day, unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts, and there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. Thank you. And I open my heart, and I bring you, Gaia, beloved Mother Earth, into my heart. Thank you, Gaia, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, Mother, for loving us and nurturing us through each and every embodiment. Thank you, Mother, I love you. And I open my heart and I bring you, beloved elementals of earth, air, fire, and water into my heart. Thank you, dear ones, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. And thank you for your union and communion with Mother Earth and your union and communion within every cell of our physical body. For without your presence, we could not exist upon the earth plane. Thank you. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring the whole of humanity into my heart. Thank you, beloved souls. All souls who are in the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. All souls who are leaving the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And all souls who are coming into the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And to my soul, thank you. I love you. Thank you, dear beloved souls, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you. I love you.